ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب الى فرعون انه طغى فقل هل لك الى ان تزكى واهديك الى ربك فتخشى فاراه الآية الكبرى فكذب وعصى ثم أدبر يسعى فحشر فنادى فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى. We had started the surah An-Nazi'at, and in the beginning of surah An-Nazi'at, mention was made about those angels, five different qualities of the angels. When they take the souls of people, whether the souls be of the believers or of the unbelievers, then it mentions about the denial of the unbelievers. When they heard that there will be a resurrection, and when they heard that they will be raised again, in amazement they said, "Ainna lamarduduna fil hafira." Would we be returned to the former state? In other words, they denied it. They denied the fact that they will be returned to the former state, that they will be given life again. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, behold, it will just be one shout and one mighty blast, and everyone will of them will be lying on the earth's surface. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at many times and on many occasions was very much grieved because of the response of the people. He will speak to them again and again, and they will deny him, they will mock him, they will make fun of him. And sometimes it seemed that his message wasn't reaching very far. Here, from this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to him and draws his attention to the fact that you are not the first person this is happening to. But as a Nabi, there came before you many Anbiyas and many Apostles. And this was the response they got from the people. You are not to lose any heart, but you have to look at what happened. And one incident is mentioned, the incident of Musa and Pharaoh. What happened at the time of Musa alayhi salam, when he came to the greatest unbeliever and the tyrant ruler Pharaoh, and Musa alayhi salam tried to make him understand in so many different ways, and many of the miracles occurred. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the people, and he brought one punishment after another punishment. But even in the long run, these people did not believe. Pharaoh did not believe at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Has not the information of Musa alayhi salam reached you? Do you know of the incident of Musa alayhi salam? You should remember that, and you should bring that to mind, so that you will not give up any hope and give up your heart in doing what you are doing. إِذَا نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. Behold, his Lord called out to him in the sacred valley of Tuwa. That's the name of the valley. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to Musa, and he said to him, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. اذهب, go to Pharaoh. He has certainly transgressed all the limits. Go to him. When you go, what should you say? فقل, say to him, هل لك إلى أن تزكى. هل لك, do you wish, إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَزَكَّىٰ, that you should become purified. In other words, do you want to become a pure man? Do you want to become a godly man, a righteous, pious man? And in that case, if you want to become a godly man and you want to leave off this evil traits of yours, well then ahdiyaka ila rabbika wa ahdiyaka, then I will guide you to your Lord, fatakhsha, and then you will begin to fear Allah. Musa alayhi salam was commanded by Allah that when you go to Fir'aun, speak in a soft voice. Do not speak harsh to him. Do not be harsh to him. Speak to him with wisdom and understanding. Although he is a tyrant ruler, and he is one of the worst enemies, he is the only one who said that he was the Lord the Most High on the face of the earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam that when you go, speak to him softly. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, speak to him in a lenient manner, in a soft manner, that he may take some advice from you and he may come onto the right path. Subhanallah. Fir'aun, a man who has so much different evil things on his record, and for the amount of things he had done, he was a very big criminal. But when Allah made Musa alayhi salam a Nabi, Allah sent Musa alayhi salam to this man that is known as Fir'aun, so that no man may be deprived of hidayat and guidance. Guidance is for everyone, and the effort is for everyone. So, on one angle, when Musa alayhi salam came to Fir'aun, the people were telling him, do you know who is Fir'aun that you are going to him? Big mighty king. To tell him to leave off his worship and worship Allah. But Musa alayhi salam did not listen to anybody, because he was commissioned by Allah to go to Fir'aun. And what is the message? Tell Fir'aun immediately that if he wants to be purified, then he should follow you, O Musa, and then he will be guided to the right path and he will begin to fear Allah. But obviously, Fir'aun, in his pride and arrogance, will not tolerate a small purpose like Musa coming to tell him what to do and who to worship. So he rejected Musa alayhi salam. The Holy Quran says, in order to convince him, Musa alayhi salam had showed him great signs. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةُ الْكُبْرَى فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةُ الْكُبْرَى. Musa alayhi salam had shown to him great signs. The first two great signs that were shown to Fir'aun, when Musa alayhi salam reached in the presence of Fir'aun, and he said to him that I have been ordered by the Lord of Israel, to bring a message to you, that you should worship no one except him. Fir'aun said to him, who is this God? Who is this Lord? Do you have any proof? And Musa alayhi salam, that was the time when Musa alayhi salam took his right hand, he placed it in his bosom, and when he took it out, it was more shining, and it was more glaring, and more, let's say, showing more light than the sun. It was very, very bright, the right hand. This was one great sign. And the other sign was the sign of the asa, or the stick, which turned into the big serpent, Azdaha, very big, huge serpent, not a small snake. So when he asked for a sign, Musa alayhi salam brought signs to him. Then after a period of time, when the sorcerers competed with Musa alayhi salam and they lost the competition and they believed in Allah and they were crucified, Fir'aun still did not believe in Allah. And Musa alayhi salam came to him again and again, and he said, let my people go, let the Israelites go. Allah has a task for them and he has a job for them. And Musa alayhi salam, although he gained his nabuwat when he was still at his father-in-law's place in Madian, who was Shu'aib alayhi salam, from there he was ordered by Allah, you are commissioned to go to Fir'aun. Your special task is for the Israelites. This is your task. And at that time, Musa alayhi salam said to Allah that I have a problem with my tongue, make my brother a Nabi. And Allah made Harun alayhi salam his brother, a Nabi who will speak on behalf of Musa alayhi salam. He had a stutter on his tongue, Musa alayhi salam. And they both came to Firaun. One time Firaun will promise to allow the people to go, but he will go against his words. And whenever he goes against the words, his words, Allah will strike him with a punishment. And whenever the punishment came, he will ask for Musa. And when Musa came to him, he will say, tell your Lord to take away this punishment, I will let them go. And Musa alayhi salam will pray to Allah to take away the punishment. But as soon as the punishment goes away, Firaun will go back on his words. He will say, no, I cannot let them go. Why? Because the people who built the kingdom of Firaun were the Israelites. They were the people who were taken into bondage, and those were the people who were slaves to Firaun. So if Firaun allows these people to go, there is no one who will work for him again. So it occurred that 9 signs, one after the other, came to Firaun. 9 different forms of punishment. Sometimes it is that on one occasion, the river Nile turned into blood. They could not drink anything at all. Whatever they were drinking in their glass, whatever it is, it turned into blood. Insects. So many different things, one after the other. So this is what is meant by when Musa alayhi salam came to him and he had showed him Ayat al-Kubra, the great signs, many signs one after the other. But after all the signs were given, what happened? فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. Firaun denied him. Firaun denied Allah and denied Musa alayhi salam. وَعَصَى. And he disobeyed. He did not believe. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. Then he turned back on his heels, striving, making effort to destroy Musa alayhi salam. This was the effort. يَسْعَى, he was striving. Striving to do what? Striving to fight. He wanted to put up a big fight against Musa alayhi salam and a big fight against Allah. فَحَشَرَ. So يَسْعَى, he was striving. And at that time, he was trying to get all the sorcerers to compete with Musa alayhi salam, to show that what Musa alayhi salam has was sorcery, and his sorcery was greater than that of Musa alayhi salam. So what he did, فَحَشَرَ, he guarded everyone. فَنَادَ, and he called out and made a public announcement. What was his announcement? فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your Lord, the highest. This is the announcement he made to the people. He called out to his people and he said, look, this is Moses and Aaron. This is Musa and Harun here. These are the people who grew up in my kingdom. And today they are coming to tell you about a different God. Listen well, you have no other God besides me. I am your God, the highest. So he propagated towards the lordship of himself. What happened? The Quran says, فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. So Allah seized him. Allah seized him with the punishment of the hereafter and the punishment of this world. 2 things are mentioned here. نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. One commentary and one tafsir that is given is that Allah seized him with the punishment of the hereafter and the punishment of this world. And the punishment of this world is where he was drowned. He was drowned in the Red Sea itself. When he was pursuing Musa alayhi salam and he and his army, Allah caused them to drown. That was a punishment in this world. And the punishment in the hereafter is that which is still awaiting them. And the Holy Quran itself says, from the time that Firaun died, from that time, obviously he will enter into the state of Barzakh. The fire of Jahannam is placed in front of him morning and evening. Every morning and evening, the fire of Jahannam is placed in front of him so that he will see. And that itself will be a sight that will make him scared and he will become frightened. And it will, his entire stay before the day of judgment, comes up, it will be one of regret. And another commentary is that Allah sees them for the transgression which occurred first and the transgression which occurred after. The first transgression was all the things that he had done against Musa alayhi salam. That was the first transgression. So Allah punished him for that transgression. And the second transgression was where he announced in public that he was the mighty Allah. He was the mighty Lord. So that was the second transgression. So therefore it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him for the first transgression and the second transgression, and the punishment in this world, the whole world has seen it, and the punishment awaits him in the hereafter. Then after mentioning the punishment that came to Fir'aun, Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. Certainly, in this there is a lesson for those who fear. For anyone who fears Allah, for anyone who has a slight fear of Allah, he will get a lesson in this incident. That he will know for a fact that the Anbiya's are true people. And the apostles, they come with the truth. Any Nabi it is. In this case, it was Musa. But in our case, it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever he says to you, it is the truth. Have no doubts about it. Do not live a life that you will end up like Fir'aun. For Fir'aun doubted the message that came to him. And because he doubted the message that came to him, he ended up in the severe penalty. So therefore, in our case, if we as Muslims begin to doubt the message which came to us through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then our situation might not be the exact thing, but there will be punishment ahead for us. So have no doubt, there is a lesson. The people of the past doubted the message of the Anbiya's. So whatever our messenger told us, that if you do this, there will be that punishment. If you do this, there will be this reward. If you do not do that, Allah will repay you in this manner. Then the message is, take a lesson from this incident and do not be doubtful of the message of your Lord. The people, this was an incident that was mentioned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that it will be a means of consolation to him. That listen, you are not the first person in this field. Many have come before the likes of yourself, and this is what they had to face. Back to the incident here. Back to what is going on. The unbelievers, the people of Makkah, they are doubting. They are doubting the Prophet, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about, the ayat is revealed, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةَ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةَ قُلُوبُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ وَاجِفَةَ. That the earth will shake, the blast will shake the earth. Every man, every living being will perish, they will die, and there will be the resurrection. So the people denied the resurrection and they started to make a mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they said, أَإِذَا كُنَّ عِظَامًا نَخِرًا. When we have become bones, decayed and decomposed, how are we going to get back life? How are we going to get back life? So in response to that, Allah says, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ بَنَاهَا. Subhanallah. Tell me something. Look at yourself. You are created. And just as you are created, there are mighty other bodies that are created, the sky above you. Who is more difficult to create, or what is more difficult to create, you or the sky? Allah created the sky out of nothing. What difficult it is for Allah to recreate you when you have been created already. So Allah asks them the question, so that at least they may believe and they will bring iman in the concept of resurrection. Which every deen, deenun samawiyun, every religion which came from Allah preached the same thing about resurrection. Every single religion from the time of Adam alayhi salam until the final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every single religion, and this is a common iman and common belief in every religion, that there will be a resurrection, there will be the day of judgment, there will be the day of account, there will be heaven and hell, paradise, jannat and jahannam. Every single scripture which came from Allah preached that. And how amazing it is that every single religion which did not come from Allah does not preach that. Every single cult, ism, new fraction of people that came up believing in so and so, to be God's son on the face of the earth, or so and so to be an image that they must worship, they do not believe in the concept of life after death. They don't believe that. They believe in reincarnation. They believe that everything you do, it is right here, you will get it back. Some of them believe you die, you are done away with, that is it. Reincarnation, many different beliefs. But the idea of al-ba'athi ba'd al-maut, life after death, is something, a teaching which came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and did not come from man. And you look at all these deviated sects and religions and whatever have you, which are all man-made, whether it is Zoroastrianism, Majusi, fire worshippers, idol worshippers, idolaters, whether they are from China, whether they are from India, whether they are from wherever they are, worshipping their own gods and idols, they do not believe in the concept of al-ba'th ba'd al-maut, resurrection and life after death. That is a belief which came directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something which the human mind cannot comprehend. And this is a sign of its truth. Because whatever man has made is what they thought to be reasonable. This is why they have gone wrong. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created every single thing. And man cannot even comprehend how Allah has created that. This is why people question, how is it? We created from other things, we were not created by Allah. They cannot comprehend that. They cannot believe that once upon a time they were in the world of souls. They cannot believe that. It is something connected to our iman. They cannot comprehend how there are angels around them. They cannot comprehend the life of barzakh, how that life will be. What life will be in the grave? So because their faith and their religion is based on logics and reason, their belief does not go further than that. Iman bil ghaib is the first fundamental belief we have to have. And that is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Those people who believe in the unseen, the first fundamental belief of a Muslim without which we cannot be Muslims. Belief in the unseen. So, Allah says to them, you think that it is difficult to be recreated after you die? Allah poses a question to you and said, أَأَنْتُمَ شَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ بَنَاهَا. Are you more difficult to create or the heavens? The heavens which Allah has created. Who is more difficult? You are one little thing. Look at the mighty, massive, subhanallah, seven heavens. Stories. The moon and the stars. Subhanallah, the sun. Ajib, the oceans. Who created all these things? Rafa'a samkaha fasawaha. Allah has lifted and raised its ceiling. Ceiling here refers to what we see. We see the sky suspended. What is actually holding up the sky? Nothing. Nothing is holding up the sky. So it's like Allah Himself is holding up the ceiling. فَسَوَّاهَا. And He has made it proportion. In every angle it is proportion. Subhanallah. That is Allah's power. So when Allah has created the sky, the heavens, Allah has made seven stories in the heavens. Allah has created so many different bodies in the heavens. Then when He has created so many things, who are you to create? Subhanallah. A little piece of human being, a little piece of flesh and bone together. Who are you to create? Then why are you denying the resurrection? Further, Allah says, look at His Qudrat. Telling man, وَغَطَشَ لَيْلَهَا. And He has darkened the night. He, Allah, has darkened the night. وَأَقْرَجَ دُحَاهَا. And He has extracted its brightness. So Allah has created the sky. Allah has created the skies, the heavens and the earth. But who created the night? The night did not come for itself and the day did not come for itself. Allah created the night. So the Quran says Allah is the one who darkens the night. So you see when the sun sets, Allah is so powerful that the sun will set and the place will still remain bright. Subhanallah. That is Allah's power and qudrat. Because the darkness does not depend on the decline of the sun. And the brightness does not depend on the coming of the sun. It is Allah's power and qudrat. And that is what He is telling us here. that whether the sun is there or the moon is there, it is he who darkens the night. The place becomes dark. Who does it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you see in the morning it's becoming clear. The sun has not set in as yet, but it is becoming clear. Who brings the brightness? Allah wa akhraja. So Allah is taking out the brightness from somewhere, and he alone knows. Wal arda, he continues. You want to know the power of Allah? Look what Allah has done. Wal arda, and the earth. Ba'da thalika dahaha. And after that, Allah has spread the earth. As far as you can travel, you will meet earth upon earth upon earth. You will meet the water, but that is still earth. You will travel. You will get fed up of traveling. Allah has caused the earth to spread. He has lengthened the earth, subhanallah. Then, أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. And Allah has taken out from the earth its water, subhanallah. The water coming from the earth. People depend upon the water. Even the rain is falling from the heavens. Where do we get it from? The earth. Because it will seep into the earth. Wells will be dug, or it will fall on certain rocks and a certain type of land, which will not soak into the water, but it will preserve the water. And it will be used as a reservoir. وَمَرَعَاهَا. And the grass, which the animals eat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused the grass to grow also. وَالْجِبَالَ أَرُسَاهَا. And the mountains Allah has set firm. Subhanallah. We look around us and we see these mountains and we wonder if ever a man could put that in its place. Right around us, so much mountains, so many mountains, high, lofty mountains, rocks upon rocks. Who can do that? Can all these things happen coincidentally? Can any human being, 1,000 or 1,000,000 put together, can put rocks in its place like that? Create the massive ocean? Na'uzubillah, it cannot happen. So Allah is saying here, look at what he has done. He has created so many things. And none of these things was difficult for Allah to create. Then, O human beings, why do you think it will be difficult for Allah to create you again? What is so difficult for Allah? مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِيَنْعَامِكُمْ. These things which Allah has made in the world, the water, the grass, the fruits, the vegetation, etc., they are provisions for you and also for your animals. Just like in the other surah, that certain things you may eat and you will live your lives, be nourished on these things, but there are certain things you cannot eat, and it is not good for your body, but it is good for your animals, and you need your animals also. So Allah has provided for you and Allah has provided for your animals. But still, with all these arguments and the proofs which are coming from Allah, the people continue to disbelieve and deny the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many things. It's just like during the time of the Ambiyas, they will come and they will ask for a miracle, and they will say, if you perform this miracle, we will believe in you. And after the miracle is performed, they will reject him. Suratul Ma'idah, the theme and the message in that surah is where the people of at the time of Isa alayhi salam once asked Isa alayhi salam, O Isa, does your Lord have the ability to send a table spread or dastarkhan from heaven laden with food? Isa alayhi salam looked at them and says, are you making fun with Allah? They says, no, we just want to know if he can do it. Please ask him to send down a table spread full with food. Look at what these people are asking for. Food. The Jews ask for wheat and barley and garlic and onions and all these things. And the Christians now, they are asking Isa, we want food to eat. Tell him to send a table spread. A table spread is called Ma'idatun, Dastarkhan. So Isa alayhi salam prayed to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Isa, tell them I will send it down. That is not difficult. Allah causes the whole world to eat. He has provided for the ants, for the birds, for the snakes, for the lions, for the fishes, subhanallah. He provides for every single one of his creation on the face of the earth. What is difficult? He says, but tell them that after it is sent down, they disbelieve, they will get such a punishment that no one on the face of the earth will get. And the dastarkhan came down, the table spread came down, and after it came down, they still denied Allah and they disbelieved in Allah, and as such they were punished on the face of the earth. And there is a special Jahannam which is reserved for such people who denied Allah after that miracle came. So after all is brought before them, after all are brought before them, and after everything is placed before them, the people still disbelieve. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wait, then wait. If this is your attitude and everything that comes to you, you continue to become doubtful, then wait. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى, behold, when the greatest calamity that the world will ever witness, when the greatest overwhelming calamity comes to waves, volcanic eruptions, the sun and the moon colliding with each other, falling apart, the stars will be scattered about in the ocean. When that starts to happen, and then the second sound of the trumpet is blown, and then people shall be resurrected. When they are resurrected and man shall stand up, the Quran says, when they will come out from their sepulchres and their graves walking towards Allah, then on that day, when every single thing would have come back to life, the Quran says, يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. At that time, a man will look to see what he has worked for. At that time. At that time. Normally, a person will normally reflect when he's in trial and situation. You see, if a man normally continues to enjoy good life on the face of the earth, and every day is a good day, he will never think about where he came from and what was his beginning. He becomes so absorbed in the luxury, in the comfort, in every single thing, that he forgets what was his origin. He forgets the days that he passed in starvation. He forgets the days in poverty. He forgets many different things. He forgets the sicknesses. He forgets every single thing when he becomes absorbed. And he forgets the wrong deeds he has done also. And then when something happens to him and things are taking a different turn and it's going down on the decline, he recollects himself and he thinks, he says, wait now, I wonder if there is anything I did wrong because of which this is happening to me. Then he starts to remember and he looks back. He starts to look back and he tries to make amends now at that time. But sometimes it is too late. And here it's a similar situation. When life has been lived already, and all the comfort and the luxury has passed, and every single thing has gone, and a man has seen so many things that he has never seen in his life, the Quran says, يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ, that day a man will remember. He will remember, مَا سَعَى, what has he worked for? He will look at himself and he will say, what good deeds have I really done? He will look at himself and say, what bad deeds I have done? Then Allah says, on that day, وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. On that day, Jahannam will be exposed to make things even worse for them. To make things even worse for the transgressors and the disobedient slaves. What will be shown to them? Not Jannah. If Jannah is shown to them, Jannah will be shown so that they may regret. And Jahannam will be shown to them so they may become even more sad. In other words, this is their state. They are crying, they are weeping. The decision has not yet been made to go to Jahannam, but Jahannam is exposed to them. And the angels will say, that is Jahannam. And you know, when you see a terrible calamity, you will cry even more louder. So they will look at it, and what will be going through their minds is, this is our destination, this is our destination. And it will create even more sadness and sorrow in their hearts. So the Quran says, they will recall and they will remember the things that they had done on the face of the earth. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. And Jahannam will be made exposed to them, it will be visible to them, for those who can see it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jahannam will be exposed and Jannat also will be visible. But for each place there is a separate group, not the same group of people. Two separate groups, two different groups. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the signs of each group. Very beautiful passage. Like the commentators have stated, that this is such a beautiful passage that you and I, while we are still alive, we can look to see which group we will be belonging to on that day. Because if the signs of one group is found on us, those signs are found in us, then it means that we are heading that way. That is the destination. And if the signs of the other group are found in us, then it means we are heading that direction. So Allah says, Jannat will be brought exposed before people, and Jahannam will be. Some people will be going here to Jannat, and some people will be going there to Jahannam. Who are the ones that will be going there, and who are the ones that will be going in the other place? Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى. As for those people who transgress the limits of Allah, that's the first sign. They transgress Allah's limits. What's the meaning of transgression? Transgression, tajawuz. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed certain boundaries in place, certain limits, and He has ordered us via the Holy Quran and through His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and through all the apostles to tell us, you cannot cross this limit. You cannot. You can eat this, you can eat that, but you cannot eat that other one. If you eat it, you are crossing a limit which Allah has set. You can marry this type of woman, you can marry that type of woman, but you cannot marry the other type of woman. Do not cross that limit. Do not cross that limit. It's exactly the same like when people go for Hajj, there is a miqat you just cannot cross except you have your ihram. But in this case, there is no ihram. The law is for the Nabi, the law is for the follower. No one is exempted for the law that says you have now the authority to forego your salat because you have reached a certain status. No. No. The law is the same for everyone. So the law of Allah is that 5 times salat is compulsory every day. By crossing the limit of that is by disobeying Allah's law and not performing it 5 times a day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is halal for you to look at, that is haram. To do that which is haram is crossing the limits. Allah says, this is halal for you to speak, but that is haram. To speak that which is haram is crossing the limit. Anyone who crosses the limit of Allah is a tagha. He's making tughyan, he's a transgressor. Anyone. So the first sign of the people who will enter Jahannam is those people who are taghi, transgressors. And there are different degrees of transgressors. The first degree of transgression is to transgress Allah's law by not believing in Him. So you become a kafir. That is the highest degree of transgressor. A transgressor, that he is a kafir. The second degree of a transgressor is one now who believes in Allah, but he believes that there is not only one, there is more than one. There are more gods. So he has believed, but he has crossed the limit now in his belief. That is shirk. Belief is there, denial is not there. Belief is there, but belief in too many is a problem. So here is it. One is kufr, the highest degree of transgression. The other one is shirk. The other one is that a person may have believed in Allah and His Rasul, but he doesn't do any good deed at all. Any good deed. He does all the haram actions. That's a different degree of transgression. And the other degree of transgression is that a person does good deeds, but along with it, he still disobeys Allah. He's still transgressing Allah. But his transgression is totally different from a kafir's transgression, but they are all transgressors in different ways. which is not good at all. So the first sign of the Jahannamiyun and the first sign of the dwellers of the fire of hell is they transgress Allah's limit. So anytime a person from among us sees that he's transgressing the limits, my dear brothers and sisters, it is not a good sign at all. Because Jannat is not a place for transgressors. The place for transgressors are where transgressors will be. And that is the place where the kuffar and the mushrikeen will be, and that is Jahannam. The second sign, Allah says, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Allah says, the second sign is that they give priority and preference to this worldly life. This is where their priority and preference is. They don't prefer the hereafter. They prefer this life. So because of the fact that the preference and the priority is this life, all the comfort they want is here. They are not thinking about the comfort in the hereafter. So even if it means breaking the laws of Allah in order to get the comfort of this life, they will do it because they prefer this life than the life hereafter. So sometimes it is said to a person, this is haram, you're not supposed to do that. But he finds it difficult to refrain from that because his love, his longing, getting pleasure is there in it because he just wants to satisfy the greed of this life. So, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. He gives priority to this life. And giving priority to this life, it occurs in many different ways. Giving priority to this life is that a person fails to uphold the laws of Allah. He fails to uphold the laws which the Messenger of Allah has given to him because he doesn't really want anything in the hereafter. He's only thinking about good life here, good life here, good life here. Giving priority to this life is that a person, although he's in a very good state, he wants more and more and more and he will never be satisfied. And when it is said to him, put something for the hereafter, give something for the hereafter that you will build your bank account, then he doesn't even pay heed to that. Why? Because everything he wants is right here. This is why the Holy Quran says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And from among men there are those who say, oh Allah, give us everything right here. They want everything but right here. Allah says they will get it, but they have no part in the hereafter. وَمِنُهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ. And from among them there are those who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, we want here and we want there also. Not only here. We have to live a life here, so we want something here. So give us good here and give us good there and save us from the fire and the chastisement of the fire of Jahannam. Allah will accept their dua and give them. So in each and every person's life, he himself will be able to know whether he is giving tarjih and priority to this worldly life. No one else. It is something which you cannot judge externally. Because you might see a person living comfortable and he has all the basic necessities and amenities of life. But that is no dalil and indication for you to say that that man is giving priority to this world. No. We have to be careful of making judgment like that. You do not know if that man gets up for his prayer every night. You do not know how much Quran the man reads. You do not know how much sadaqat and khairat the man gives. So therefore, to look at an external thing and judge a man is not good at all. Allah is the best of all judges. So therefore, there were very wealthy people. Uthman Ghani. Uthman was so wealthy that his title was given the wealthy Uthman Ghani. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, wealthy sahabas. But they were sahabas who were promised Jannat while they were still alive on the face of the earth. Similarly, in the same manner, it is not good to look at a man who keeps himself deeny and religious, and he always looks to you as if he's a pious man, to say this man doesn't give priority to this world, because you do not know how craving his heart might be. That is something which Allah will see. That is something No one knows the condition of the hand. So a man looks to you like everything is deeny. His talk is deen, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. His words are like words, his words and his speech is like the speech of the Anbiya's, but his actions are like the actions of Satan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about such people. The Quran mentions about such people from among the Israelites. They speak to you like Anbiya's, but their heart is more longing for the world than even the worldly people. And it is never satisfied. And they use their deen to get the dunya, and a'udzubillah, may Allah save us. They are the worst of all people. They are the worst of all people. That they are actually selling their deen for the dunya. No. So it is not for anyone now to look at a person. This is why I had explained in the past. When we speak about doing dunyawi things and doing deeny things. If you work in order to earn a halal livelihood, that you may strengthen your body and you may give in the path of Allah, and that you will be away from doing anything haram, you will get blessings for it. Your niyat is good, you will get blessings for it. But if you call azan in order to increase your wealth, that you will be paid. And if you perform salat, and every salat there is a special cost for it, then you are worldly, although you are doing religious duties. It's an important thing. Religion is what is religion in the sight of Allah. This is why the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, and do not sell my verses for a small price. What does it mean? Selling the Quran? No, you can sell a Quran. Because a man has to pay to print the Quran. You have to pay the printery. Does it mean you cannot sell the hadith? Yes. Some expenditure has come upon you. You have. What the Quran means, it means that, and it was revealed about the time when the rabbis, the Jewish priests, what used to happen at that time? That whenever the law was there, the law about cutting off the hand, the law of stoning to death when a person commits adultery, all these laws were there. But if a wealthy man committed it, and the wealthy man came to the rabbi and the priest for some judgment, they will put something, they will send something even before, a little bakshish. And by the time they appear, then the rabbi will say, no, I do not find that in the book. There is nothing like that in the Torah. Nothing. But when a poor man did it, they will see, yes, look at this here. Your hands must be cut off because you committed theft. And the law will be implemented upon the poor, but the wealthy will get off. Allah says, you are selling his words for a small price. You are selling his words for a small price. So therefore, even though they were preaching from the Torah, they were worldly people. Their hearts were craving for the life of this world. So this thing is a very important thing. وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنِيَا وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنِيَا. Who crave, and their preference is their prior, and their priority is the world. So many people use their deen to get the dunya. So if they use their deen to get dunya, then they have given priority and preference to this world above the hereafter. And alhamdulillah, there are many people who use their dunya to get deen, subhanallah. They sacrifice whatever they have to get Allah's pleasure, so that Allah may be pleased with them. They work hard so that they will be able to help the Muslims. They work hard so that they will give sadaqat and zakat and khairat and charity. They are using their dunya. Such people, with everything they have, they are the people who give priority to the hereafter above the world. So it is not something that you look externally and you make a judgment and say, by that's a worldly man. The man who is doing religious duty is also a worldly man, but you do not know his heart. Allah knows his heart. So, two signs Allah has given. And what is the judgment for those people who possess these two signs? Allah says, فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Certainly, Jahannam is their destination. Anytime you give priority to this life, anytime you make tughyan, you transgress the limits of Allah, then Jahannam awaits you. The fire of hell is your destination. That is only one place to. Then the Quran says, the other side of it. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. As for such a person who feared the standing before his Lord, subhanallah. Every day he lived on the face of the earth, he was worried about, when I stand, what answer can I give to Allah? How will I stand? What will Allah say to me? What will Allah ask me about? What will Allah question me about? And my dear brothers and sisters, just to have that thought in our mind is a thought which will set us on the right path. It is a thought which guides us. Because if a man, if he has that simple thought in his mind, then that thought will prevent him from doing many things which are against Allah's law. Because before he does it, he will think, if I do it, I will have to stand before Allah, so he doesn't do it. Before he causes harm to anyone, he thinks, he says, listen, I will stand before Allah, let me not do anything. Before he says something bad about a person, he thinks again, but listen, the angels are writing and this will be presented before Allah. What reply and answer can I give to Allah? Let me not do it. So the first quality is a quality which guides a man and keeps him on the right path, is the quality of fearing the reckoning before Allah. Fearing the reckoning before Allah. This is why, this is from among the first sign that is mentioned here. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. As for one, the one who fears the standing before Allah. The standing before Allah means he fears the day when he will have to stand before Allah and Allah may ask him about every single act which he committed on the face of the earth. Every single one. The other sign and the other quality of those people, the Quran says, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he prevented his nafs from desires, base desires. He prevented his nafs from base desires. Once I had mentioned, there is a little difference between something which is called nafs and something which is called ruh. Although sometimes in the Quran, the nafs is used for ruh. But there is a difference. Nafs and ruh. Ruh is something which is holy and sacred. Ruh, the soul, is something which came from Allah. Allah alone governs the affairs of the ruh. The ruh and the soul is not something that feels hungry. The ruh does not want pleasure. The soul does not find pleasure in doing things. The ruh is the source of life in our bodies. That is the ruh. The ruh, from the day it was created, it will never ever die. The body may die, not the soul. The soul will never die. But it will move from one state to another state. So once upon a time, it was in Alamul Arwah, the world of souls. Then it came in the womb of the mother. Then after staying for a period of time, it came out on the face of the earth. And then it will remain beneath the earth in Barzakh. And from Barzakh, it will go to the Day of Judgment. And from the Day of Judgment, it will either go to Jannah or Jahannam. It will never die. One state to another state. The ruh will never die. The body will die and be resurrected. Not the ruh and not the soul. So the soul is not a male and a soul is not a female. The soul is not young and the soul is not old. One way Allah has created it. The soul will become pure based on our actions, and the soul will become impure based on our actions. It is for this reason, when the soul is extracted from a person and the soul is taken to the presence of Allah, the angels say, Ayyatuhan nafsul khabitha, O impure soul. Or it may say, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, O peaceful and pure soul. Based on the actions. So because of the actions of the body, the soul will also have to suffer. And because of the actions of the body, the soul may also get the pleasure of Jannah. The nafs is the thing in within you, which is like a lion and a tiger jumping for everything. It cannot be filled. Hunger, thirst, pleasure, lust, craving, greed. That is when we speak about the nafs. That is what the nafs is about. You have everything but still you want more. That is not the ruh, that is the nafs. The base carnal desires. That is the desires, the nafs. Everything you have, but yes, you are not contented. You always want something. You always feeling for something. You always feeling lazy in order to uphold Allah's will. You are always feeling lazy to do this. All these are nafs. The nafs is something in its nature. Although Allah has placed good in the nafs and bad in the nafs, as the Quran says, wa nafsin wa ma sawaha, and the nafs Allah has created, fa'alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha, and then Allah has placed the good in it and the bad in it. But it is something that pulls a man towards itself. Unless you be strong, that you now, you will take control of your nafs. Imam Ghazali was speaking about the good nafs and the bad nafs and what you're supposed to be. He says the bad nafs is like, when you have a horse, you're not on top of the horse, and the horse is pulling you in whichever direction it goes. So whichever direction it goes, you are going behind it. That's a nafs. That's a nafs. So the nafs, if it wants this, you give it that. If the nafs says, I don't want to get up for salah this morning, you say, okay, sleep on a little bit. If the nafs says, don't do this, you say, okay, no problem. If the nafs says, do this, you do that. He says, the strong believer is the one who acts like the horseman. And just like the horseman will ride the back of the horse and control the horse in whichever direction he wants it to go. He says, that is what you have to do with the nafs. Get on top of the nafs. You control the nafs. Do not let your nafs control you. What is the Quran saying? A sign, because Allah says, as for those people, one who feared the standing before Allah, and the one who prohibited his nafs from the carnal base desires, when these two signs are found, then Allah says, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَى. Jannat is his abode. Subhanallah. Jannat. So in other words, while you are living in this, on the face of the earth, your nafs is telling you to look here. You look here. Your nafs is telling you, say this, you say this. Your nafs is telling you, do not do this. When it is the law of Allah, you obey the nafs. Then you are not prohibiting the nafs from carnal desires. In other words, you are following the nafs. But anytime the nafs says something to do you, to do, and you say, I am not going to follow you, then you will be prohibiting the nafs from fulfilling its carnal desires. The great scholar of recent, Qadhi Sanaullah, very, very great scholar in tafsir, he has mentioned that there are three states of stopping the nafs, because Allah speaks about stopping your nafs. So therefore, you and I will recognize that sometimes our nafs pulls us to do certain things which is contrary to what we are required to do as Muslims. Because the nafs enjoys these things. The nafs gets pleasure in it. In whatever environment the nafs is placed, the nafs develops the environment itself. That is what the nafs is. Although you may say to yourself, from today I am not going to do it, your nafs is so powerful and strong, it will pull you towards itself. That is what the nafs is. It will pull you. The Quran says, if you want to go to Jannat, you will have to stop obeying your nafs. You will have to prohibit your nafs and stop your nafs. You will have to do that. There are so many things that occurs in our daily lives in many different ways. Things that are connected to the prohibitions that Allah has made for our gazes, the prohibition which He has made for our listening, the prohibitions which He has made for from the evil thoughts entering into our hearts, the prohibition with respect to speech, transactions, the environment we find ourselves in, the places we find ourselves, the things we find ourselves doing, prohibitions in each and every place. Prohibition in each and every place. Then, when that is the case and we realize the nafs is taking us, if we want to get Jannat, we will have to stop the nafs and pull it back a little bit and say, no, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. You are going to do what I tell you to do. I will not follow you. So he says, Qadhi Fanaullah says in his tafsir, he says that there are three states and three stages of this which is called وَأَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, and the person who stopped his nafs from the carnal desires. He says the first stage is to refrain from such beliefs which are contrary to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the first stage. That's the first stage. And we have to understand that. Sometimes we make terrible mistakes in our life in statements. If a person believes in other gods besides Allah, and he worships many different gods, but he does not smoke, he does not drink, he lives good, many Muslims will use him as a good example and they say, look at how good that man is. Na'uzubillah. Na'uzubillah. No. The first stage of prohibiting your nafs is from idol worship. No matter how much good you do, he cannot be equal to the drunken Muslim, to the fornicator Muslim, to the thief Muslim. No way, he can't be equal at all. Because that believer has something in his heart which one day will see him out of Jahannam. But what he has in his heart will make him remain forever and ever and ever in Jahannam. Ever. This is why there is a riwayat and there is a tradition which states that on the day of judgment, if it is said to the people of Jahannam, who will be placed in the fire of hell to remain there forever, if it is said to them that gather all the pebbles and the stones of the face of the earth, count them, and the amount you will come up to, that is the amount of years you will be remaining in Jahannam. If you tell them that, they will become happy. They will become happy. Although it will cross billions and trillions upon trillions, still they will become happy. Because they say, at least by one day we will get out from this place. And if you were to say that to the people in Jannat, that count the amount of stones and pebbles on the face of the earth, and the amount you...